Go ahead. Today is Monday, November 9, 2015, and it's now 5:23 and a half p.m. And I will call to order this meeting of the Alloway Board of Appeals. I'll first take roll call. I'm Jeff Jacobs, and I'm here. Carol Ewald?
Yes.
Gary Strawhan?
Here.
Robert Kaplow? He is not here.
Excused.
Wes Kornowski?
Here.
All right. And I think that's it. The next item of business is the minutes of our last meeting, which was way back on March 16, 2015. And we should have all received the minutes of that meeting and had an opportunity to review them. Does anyone have any questions or comments about those minutes? Hearing none, we can entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
And is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Motion carries. The next item of business is the petition of Dan Roarty. Is that correct?
Roarty.
Yes. Roarty. Dan Roarty, who is an architect, requesting a 25-foot variance from the front yard setback when constructing a residence. And also a variance to remove and plant vegetation in public space when landscaping said residence at 2606 River Lane. And the applicable ordinances, there are two of them. One requires a 30-foot front yard setback, and the other requires village approval in order to change vegetation, fertilize, spray it, so on public property of the village. So those are the two ordinances involved, and we've received a petition signed by Mr. Roarty and also by Christine Helmstreet. So, Mr. Roarty, are you going to explain this petition to us?
If I could.
You certainly may. Please approach.
Are we taking this up as one item, or are these supposed to be separate items that can be voted on separately? Are these in effect two variances, or is it one?
They can be separate.
I think you have the option to do anything with conditions. So if you wanted to treat it as one thing to deal with and then set the conditions to separate.
Well, I wouldn't want to give anyone the impression that one is dependent on the other, because I don't think they are. But to make it easy, I think we need to discuss them both at the same time. But I think we probably need to entertain separate motions.
And if I could, I've got a file on here myself. Can I pull that up? Over on the, I see. The Hem Streets, Chris and Dave, approached us a while ago. They had an opportunity to build on the Fox River here in the village of Alloway. And with that, first, of course, there's a lot of excitement with all of that. But at the same time, quite an opportunity, because it's not only to create this retirement home in a community that they've lived in for a long, long time, but to do it on the river, and perhaps as importantly, to do it with a landscaping plan in an area where there's the opportunity for this natural, native plantings and landscapings to occur. in their current home in Green Bay, they did that. They did it over a number of years. And now they're at a point where they have a chance to do it again, completely different. That's a hilly terrain that they have in Green Bay, much more acre or square footage, I should say, of the lot. But here, they have a different sort of opportunity. And so with that, the property on Lane, on River Lane, there's two requests. And I don't see them as necessarily separate, but they're certainly not dependent on each other, as you pointed out, Mr. Jacobs. So first, the request to plan to maintain the right-of-way. Part of that reasoning is that the right-of-way, the street itself is offset in the right-of-way. So where most streets are in the middle of the right-of-way and there's an equally divided public way on either side, in this case you have a couple of feet of public way on one side and more than 25 feet on the opposite. And that is full with a lot of invasive species and so forth right now. The second is consideration of reducing the setback requirement from 30 feet to 5 feet. And that's to enable good use of the property that they have and so forth because of the unusual circumstances that environmentally sensitive areas do on the restriction of the property. You're familiar with the location.
Can I interrupt you?
You certainly can.
Can you go back one frame? I don't intend to interrupt you, but I just want to... That second request, you say, change to match the front setback of the property to the south.
Correct.
So is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and that you've asked that, here's the property to the south, and this is their property. So you can see where there's already an offset occurring here, and their setback line would be in this location because their property line comes up very close to River Lane. And so that's that second one that you pointed out. So the property there, and this is an aerial of it, and with the lights where they're at, it's a little hard to see, but we've got the property sitting right in here. That's the street. This is roughly the property line of this, and this is roughly the property line of this particular parcel. So that's the area that we're talking about. And ultimately, we're talking about the village public space, this piece that sets just ahead of that, that takes us up to the road. As I mentioned, the south property, that's actually their setback. On this particular property, it's the public way. And just to refresh, again, you can see that divot right there. And this is looking at the front of their property. And one of the things that we always love is green. Green is wonderful. Green is wonderful until it gets out of hand. Like everything, moderation. And as nice as that green looks, it's just completely populated with invasive species. And these are things that there's even songs and poems about and all that kind of stuff. Yet, if you go in the literature and you start reading about, like, the crown vetch and how pretty it is, all the caution from the experts, be careful, it will take over. And the problem with taking over is it obliterates the opportunity for other plants, native species plants, to grow. That crown vetch, I believe, came in from Europe and Asia, and it's still used. Or maybe that was the Phragmites. I don't recall that now. But all of these, as green as they are, create great problems for property owners. In fact, you as a village try to control these invasive species in your public spaces. Didn't happen in this particular case. It's a very short street, very few people living on it, but it certainly did. And so again, it's that zone there that we're worried about, and those are the types of plants that we're seeing in there right now, as well as elsewhere. The hemp streets have a lot of work to do. They're already started. They've started trying to control what they can with the buckthorn, the honeysuckle, and other things that are going on, the giant knotweed, throughout that property. But even as they start to control that, if this is as it is, it creates a problem. Now, certainly the village can maintain that and so forth, but what the hemp streets are offering is that they overlay their landscaping plan to include that public space. That public space is right here. So that it becomes a part of a broader scheme works in with their particular property and their particular vision. And their vision is one that, goes from river to road, if you will, starting here and how that's handled. Whether it's the trees and sort of the open screening that occurs through here, or the rain garden, or the rain gardens around the perimeter as they get out here, the no-mow lawns, the prairie, the edges with the woodlands, the edge of the water as we transition, and the water itself. All of these things are part of their vision. Something that they believe can really enhance the neighborhood, certainly help in what they're trying to do here at the street edge. The rain gardens throughout to help control the runoff. Some concern that the property next door to the south with that 5-foot retaining wall right there, all that water is someplace and it's going to go someplace. The Hem Streets are working very diligently to control that right on their property see to it that it's not a burden on neighboring properties. The woodlawn edges, as we get deeper into the site, as we buffer a little bit from the properties of north and south, and openness to allow, you know, connection, and yet pathways and other things that might be allowing them to have a little privacy in their own space. This is a very small parcel, so as expansive as these seem, you're looking at bits and pieces that would be incorporated into the total plan.
Just so we're clear, these pictures are not this property. These are
can't be. No, not at all. Thank you, though. The prairie would be the main thrust of the open space between the house and the water. That facilitates the greatest views out to the water. That's part of the reason you're going to move there. But at the same time, Dave and Chris need to have a little patch of no-mow lawn, if you will. Lawn's an improper word here. But something that will grow close to the ground, be open, so the grandkids have a place to play with grandpa and grandma. And then we move all the way down to the water's edge, where we start looking at making that transition. And this will be a huge restoration, if you want to think of it that way, right at that edge, because this stuff doesn't exist there right now. It can't. The invasive species and other things have caused those problems, to the point where they actually reclaim the waterfront. And Dave has aspirations of creating something that's really notable. He wants to make this a prototype or a demonstration property so that those who are faced with similar situations and the invasive species and the types of property that he has here, he can say, no, doggone it. I've planted that stuff. I've been working with it now for 3 years, for 7 years, for 12 years, and I know it can work. In fact, why don't you come on over and take a look? But it all starts here at the street edge. It all starts with the street landscaping and allowing the Hem Streets to be able to eradicate, plant, and then maintain that. And again, your ordinances are very straightforward and typical. You're not allowed to prune. You're not allowed to do anything in the public spaces. So that's the first dilemma. The first request is to allow the owner to plan to maintain this particular strip. I can continue then with the second piece.
Please.
Again, we're back to that aerial, and if we overlay on this, the property again, it's the same 25 feet we're talking about, in essence. And because your setback is about 30 feet, that's how he came to changing this line to just a 5-foot setback. Say that it's going to be the 25 foot of the public space, and then the 5 foot that's actually on their property. That's why that number came out. And here what we're looking at is, first, how buildable is the site? You've got a pretty nice site. It's very large. It's very deep. In fact, it's twice as deep as the effective area, because right here is your easel line, the environmentally sensitive area. Nothing can go past that in terms of construction and so forth, or it's not encouraged in any particular way. So the house is left in the front portion, and here's where that line right now is, the setback line. Now you can see this is not an affront to you in any way. It's a planning effort on our part, but we moved the house forward at this point just to see what kinds of differences it made, and it was significant. We did it, too, to kind of show where this is compared to the other houses. If we take the 30-foot setback line of the south property and ran it through the Hem Streets property, that's what I'm talking about, extending this line straight through. I don't think this is the setback line of these properties back here, but I put it for illustrative purposes. If, in fact, this were the setback line, you can see the Hem Streets would be behind that, much like the neighboring homes are. Effectively, with that cul-de-sac, the Hem Streets would be setting their home in a similar relative position to the curb as the other homes that existed on the street for so many years. If we continue through that... Whoops, what happened here? Did it go up? Or didn't it go up there?
Yeah, the red
bar. Oh, okay, thank you. So, it's too subtle for me. And what happened is, this screen actually tells me what my next slide is, and the next slide is up there, and I think, well, that's not what's up there. So yes, I laid in your front setback. And so effectively, this is the property that the Hem Streets had to work with for this home. It's not an obnoxious house in any way, shape, or form. It's a pretty quiet home. It's comfortable, by all means. They certainly earned that. But it's not some huge McMansion, as was termed many years ago, for homes that were going up in suburban areas. This is Alloway. High quality, classy, comfortable, quiet. And maybe you don't want to be characterized like that, but it's a nice home for the community that we have.
Can you stop before you move on? The portion of that structure that's within the right-of-way?
Yes.
What is that?
That's the garage.
It is garage?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And is that a three-stall garage?
It is. And you approach it from here, so you're
right,
going to come in the
right,
driveway
right.
And turn left.
Okay.
Yeah. And I believe this is their garage here, mm-hmm. And I believe this is their garage over here.
Okay. And the ESA... where is that in relation to the floodplain?
Okay, good question. The floodplain elevation line is this darkest line right here.
Mm-hmm.
And people are probably aware that you're required to have at least 2 foot of elevation above that line within 15 feet of your building. This is about 15 feet here, though, between those two. So if the building is out to here, we would still have to fill in the ESA somewhat, just to get to the 2 foot height requirement that's there. By coming back here, we're allowed to work within the actual land and not have to infringe within that area there.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, is if you moved this house west,
mm-hmm.
what problems would that present?
This corner right here would be right on the ESA line.
Mm-hmm.
And the patio here becomes in question. Now, given the landscaping and the work they're doing, the expectation is that there's some concession that's allowable because they're going to be improving the land to such a great degree with what you saw on the waterfront and so on. So the environmentally sensitive areas is in very good hands, and any work done is going to be very sensitive to it. That's not always the case. You know, there are places where just fill is brought in and it's handled in that way to see to it that, you know, the property works for the FEMA requirements. But that's not the approach the Hem Streets have chosen to take.
What is the setback here from the river? 75 feet?
The requirement is 75 feet, but
and that's from the high water mark?
Yeah, yes.
And where is that?
Well, I think I believe they take it from this line right here. It's someplace in this location.
Okay. So they could move that structure west.
We can move it west, yes. No, we're not pulling any punches about this. It's just a sort of a contextual thing we're looking at.
All right. Thanks.
Do you want questions now? Or?
Yeah,
I don't mind questions.
I'm concerned that if I don't ask them now, I'm not going to remember to come back.
Yeah, that'd be too.
Yeah, okay. So is only the garage in the setback, or is the house?
The garage is in the setback. And I apologize for how hard it is to see, but this is the back door to the house right here, and it comes this way. This is a porch on the back of the house. So the garage passes that, so this is the garage line right here.
Oh, I see.
And that's the porch. So the house starts right here. This is your 30-foot setback line.
How much, would you outline again how much is the garage?
Sure.
Which line?
This garage is right here in the corner of the place. So if you see the front, that's the front of the garage, and it comes back to this point.
Okay.
The house is right here.
Okay.
I assume that's a three-stall.
It is a three-stall garage, yes.
On the south side is a retaining wall. Is the intent to build up, to fill up to that level?
The short answer is no. The Hempstreets obtained this property before that construction started. And even as we started, we had a couple of discussions where the goal was to, can we build on this? In fact, their concern was, you know, should we even be putting a basement under this because of certain considerations. They commissioned a study to look at that to determine can we build a basement or not, and they came back, yes, basically you can. But with all of that being said, they still didn't want to necessarily bring in a lot of fill and raise that land. The retaining wall starts here and is at curb height, and by the time it gets to the end,
right,
it's 5 foot tall, so it's this tall at that point. This land then fills almost flat through all of there. These are very lightly ghosted in. This is the house that's there right now. I do not know, but heard speculation and rumors that there's an expectation to build a second home, possibly a mirror image of that home right next door to it.
Wow.
And so you're competing with, you know, 5 feet and then another 24 feet or whatever the height is. The ceilings in the living room there were 22 feet. So those are pretty high ceilings in the living room of that home that's already been built here.
The McMansion.
We do have a tree here. There will be other trees planted in here from the landscaping plan that help to provide a nice buffer for the two properties.
Is this house a single or two-story house?
The house that the Hempstreets are building will be a single-story house.
Okay.
We will have a basement. You get down to a certain point, you should build a basement. So there will be a corner in the basement that will have a window that allows escape and so forth if they've had guests down there. But they need a place for the grandkids to kind of run and the trikes, so the basement's in there. But no, it's a single-story home.
How many square feet?
I'd say 2,500, but yeah, in round number, I'm working on three different homes, so I apologize for not having that in my head.
You answered my question now on the retaining wall on the south. How will their fill affect the north property?
Good question. There's a bunch of vegetation in through here, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, much of that is invasive species that you're currently working to remove, buckthorn and other things. This property between here would be characterized as the same. There's a slight amount of drainage occurring, of course, because we're going downstream.
Yeah.
But it's fairly, I don't want to say it's original because it may not be, but these are all at about the same elevation. I would say they don't differ by more than 2 feet from north to south.
Yeah, when I first saw this, I thought, are they setting themselves up or their neighbor to the north up for all of the water if we have a huge problem, the 100-year storm, setting them up for a complete loss?
We don't want to talk too loudly about that because the Hempstreets are extremely frustrated right now with the house to the south. And I will speak for them, so they didn't say that, I did. But I'm very frustrated with it. But that's not important, and that's not the issue here.
Well,
they have to abide by the FEMA law. The property of the South has to abide by FEMA. What they've done must be within the scope of the law, I presume. And so it does create a problem. But the Hempstreets and the planning that they have forward will allow that water to stay toward the river.
Okay.
They'll be fine, and they're doing nothing to damage the adjacent properties to the north.
Did you say that if you would have to move the house back, that you would have to raise
If we move the house to the west, we do run into the predicament that we will be taking a little bit of the capacity area for flooding. But again, to be fair, you're only looking at a small amount of height that you're changing, and you're doing it gradually. So yes, it does change it, but you're on the Fox River, and that's a pretty large body of water. So your flooding that occurs is less significant than it might be on a smaller area like the East River.
Well, if you raise that, would that impact the neighbor to the north?
It probably does to some extent, yes. Again, most of the water from rain and storm, the Hemstreets are controlling right on their property with the landscaping plan that they're putting together. But in a river flooding situation, springtime, wind from the north, I don't know. You know, it could cause a small amount of discomfort, which could be a large amount of discomfort if it's ice and snow and water.
Is the water, or the storm sewer plan pretty much the landscape plan that's going to be completed over a five-year period?
The stormwater control would be done immediately.
Okay.
But to eradicate the invasive species and to find out what's there that will grow natively and then to nurture that or to enhance that, that's why the five-year window is presented. And the Hemstreets would be open to, upon your request, coming before you on an annual basis to report their progress.
Is there any storm sewer on the street or off the street in the public right-of-way in that area?
I want to say we've got these little dark spots.
Right there.
Those are curb inlets.
Sure.
So I'm guessing that there are those four. And this site is draining this way. This is higher than this is.
Right.
And looking at that, I don't know if there's another one back here. I'm guessing maybe this is a little higher, too. So this is might be the low spot.
I haven't gotten to walk down there, but it goes outlets, so they go right to the river from the inlets on the street. You know,
there's a large structural line that runs through there.
Okay.
Right
there.
No,
yeah. So there's sanitary.
Sanitary runs along.
Okay, so it is. There's the same water that there's serving.
Yeah. That's the retaining wall we talked a little bit about. And you can see it's not as oppressive in a photograph at this point. This, of course, is twice as far away as what the next house might be. That would be closer to this spot. And, of course, would have a different perspective on it.
Are you going to have to accommodate that going west from that retaining wall in order to drain that water that's going to come down off that hill?
The water that comes down off this hill should not be the concern of the Hemstreets. You know, property owners are not, I don't think they're allowed to move stormwater onto adjacent properties. Davis had some conversations with that property owner, and the other property owner is very eager to show that he's controlling the water on his own property. Certainly your attention and interest is heartwarming, because if there is a question, of course, it's going to come back to the village.
How far is that retaining wall from where the back of the house or the front of the... I mean, how does that relate now to the proposed site of the house?
It's still... the back of the house is about where the back of that retaining wall is.
And that would be if you're granted the variance.
If we're granted the variance.
If you're not granted the variance and you move the house back, that could be...
It's going to be roughly right here.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the
bathroom, I think.
Yes. I knew that. It's the master bathroom that would be at that point.
Okay.
Certainly there's a lot of benefits to moving toward the river in a perfect world where you don't have certain river conditions and other floodways and all those things to deal with, so you can get past that retaining wall. But at the same time, pulling forward like this does allow the retaining wall to be back where the built environment it is, that is the house. And in a lot of ways, you've shortened that retaining wall considerably if the Hemstreets are able to pull forward. with the house back here, the other way to look at it is on this street and along the Fox River Trail, people will have a wide view of a very expansive retaining wall at the edge of that property. If the house comes forward, they'll be looking at a home instead of a retaining wall along that street. From the terms of, you know, curb appeal, the house coming forward has greater curb appeal. But again, I don't think that's a part of the question today either.
Is there a plat survey or anything done on this property that would show any easements within that building area?
The short answer is yes, we've captured that, and we've captured it here. We're not aware of any other easements other than those that are setbacks in that property. So, to come back to the point, this is the front yard setback of the south property. This is the front yard setback of this particular property. I don't know what the setbacks were here. Obviously, time passes, that changes. But if we superimposed a setback on them that's comparable to the property to the south and works within where they're actually built, that is, if you had a setback and you built to the setback, you could expect your garage to be at the end of that setback. There's the end of the setback. Well, there's a garage, and there's the other house. The implied setback of those two homes to the north is very similar to what's being proposed by the Hemstreets. And we're simply saying, let's shift that down there and take into account then the character that's been established at this end of the street and the precedent that's been set with the south end of the street to say, here's where that setback is. Ultimately, the Hemstreets would like to approach you at a future date to consider allowing that land to be transferred to them completely. They want to plant it and take care of it. They'd like to build in this location. Because that process takes so much longer, the reason for this particular variance is to allow them confidence in moving forward with their home so they can start the construction in the spring. And there's a lot of things that have to happen and they have to commit to before that date can come forward.
Do we know what utilities are in the ground on the west side of that street? Is it a sanitary line? Is it an 8-inch? Is it 6-inch? Is it 12-inch? What's the water mean? Is it a 4-inch, 6-inch?
I'm not sure.
I'm wondering, though, did Craig Behrendt weigh in at all as to his interest from a public works standpoint of the village needing that property for that type of thing? I thought he had indicated that Public Works felt that it was a possibility to vacate that land.
That's correct, yeah. Craig Burner, Public Works Director, did say that it could be a possibility to vacate that land. I think roughly 2 months.
Sure. Do we know at this point whether easements were granted to the property owners on either side? Variances, I mean, not easements, variances were granted to them? I mean, I'm wondering how the heck... certainly the property to the south, how the heck do they are they allowed that what seems to be a variance?
There could be all sorts of possibilities. Mr. Rorty, have you or Mr. and Mrs. Hemstreet, have you talked to anybody at the village about vacating
the
west 25 feet of that street?
And the 2 months sounds optimistic. You know, that's kind of what moved us in this direction, that it would maybe take, you know, never know, 2 to 6 months to have that process all okay.
Who did you talk to?
We've been Craig Behrendt.
And what was their response?
He said that, yes, that's certainly something to approach. In fact, he probably came right back and said he's not sure we needed to go ahead with the variance, that the stronger position might be the vacation of the street. But again, that's kind of up in the air. These are not tied together, as you've already pointed out, but if there was any sense in creating something here that would allow
some confidence so that the Hem Streets could go ahead, moving the property setback is one of those that helps. And in terms of, you know, absolute hardship, you know, I suppose there's some argument that there's no absolute hardship here, but there certainly is contextual references that suggest that it's not a crazy idea. There's oddities to the property that start to create difficulties in and compromises in how you're going to construct this, not only for this property, but in the adjacent properties. As much as you try to keep everything on that site, you've already pointed out, are there problems in the big flood? And I just don't know. I'm not that type of an engineer. But certainly, you're giving the best chance for success by moving the house forward.
Well, the variance that you're requesting, it appears to me, is based upon that 25 feet not being public right-of-way. I mean, you've taken that 25 feet plus 5 feet.
Effectively, you're right. You're absolutely right. Yes.
And the other thing is, from a standpoint of, whether or not you're going to qualify for a variance from a legal standpoint, let's face it, the house could move west, the garage could be a two-stall, mm-hmm. There are other possibilities.
No, there definitely are. It's not part of the question.
The thing that I really wonder about is whether there's an intent to seek vacation of that street.
I guess I'm trying to decide how best to answer that. That's where we started. The thought was we should see if there's any possibility that the village would do that, rather than have the village try to maintain that public space. First eradicate the invasive species and then come back and maintain it in some way that all stays there. If we want to do all that work ourselves anyway, why wouldn't the village have some interest in selling that property to us? But you do have a lot of gymnastics to go through to get that accomplished.
You know, let me just tell you that, and maybe you've thought about this, maybe not, but there's some other possibilities here. I mean, one possibility would be that the owner of the property to the south contributes that 25 feet to the village.
I think that's been tried, and the village wasn't interested.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But given the distance from the street of the house that's there now and the one that maybe will be built in the future, mm-hmm. There would be a lot of room there to do that. I mean, that would not present a setback problem if that 25 feet were transferred to the village. And then, if that were to happen, the village might come along and say, well, we want to widen the street. We want to widen the blacktop. And all of this vegetation that's been put in the right-of-way is going. Mm-hmm. It's all getting cut down. It's going to become blacktop. And when they come through there and plow, they're going to be plowing to 5 feet from your garage. Mm-hmm. So I guess, I wonder again, is there an intent here to seek vacation of that 25 feet? I mean, personally, if it was me, that's what I'd be doing.
Mm-hmm. I think the answer to that is that's what we prefer, and that's what we want to do. But from the timing of building, then the advice that we got from the director of Public Works was to say, that's going to take a long time. So I would recommend, it was his recommendation to pursue the variance first.
Initially, yeah.
And then come back later and ask for the vacation of the strip of property. So, I would much prefer, for the exact reason you just described, to say that was land that we could be responsible for and we could maintain and not have to be in some kind of ongoing. Mm-hmm. you know, exchange with Public Works or with Parks or whoever is appropriate to say, here's what we'd like to plant in there, and is it okay with you, and just going down that path.
Do you understand that if we grant your variance and you go ahead and plant there, that could all change in the future? Your plantings could come out of there.
Yeah,
I don't want anybody to have the impression that if we grant this variance, and you go ahead and plant all this vegetation within that 25 feet, that's going to prohibit the village from utilizing that as a right of way in the future.
That's right, and that's why we certainly want to pursue you all vacating the land, okay? For that reason. But on the other hand, I'd say from a practical standpoint, do I think that's going to happen maybe in my lifetime?
What vacation of the street?
No.
The city taking a... Well, I don't know.
The vacation, even if there was a vacation, I would assume that we'd have an easement along that western line there. It looks like there's hydrants on the plans. You can see them on the second page site plan. So there's a water line kind of running right through your plantings, I would assume, unless it's disconnected. But in that case, if that water main were to be replaced or whatever else, you know, we might need that space in order to... Now, whether that would happen, I don't know, if that's a new water main or if it's an old water main or whatever, but you get into a situation where you have a lot of plantings there and we have to go in and put a new water main in, that'll rip up that... those plantings, and then would the village be required to replace those plantings? I guess is the question. But
in the quick, a little bit of quick sidetrack, Dave sat in your position for a different municipality for a number of years, so he's familiar with the Board of Appeals and the differences between setbacks and easements and property ownership and so on. So he comes here fully understanding your dilemma and role tonight in terms of considering this, but the timing of the work to be done is just such, and again, it's kind of caught us by surprise as we got into it, and the further we got into the planning and that, things started happening to the south, which became very apparent what was going to happen then, and the notion of trying to pull the house forward and dealing with the invasive species all in one fell swoop is what brought us to today.
Is that a fake house that you've got right next to the house in question to the south? That other one's the one to be built later on, right?
Yeah, this is ghosted in. These are very light because I don't actually know those are the dimensions, but I think they're pretty darn close.
Is that a plan that you have a building structure there? Is that just something you illustrated just because that's what...
It's because of the rumor we've heard that this lot is for sale right now.
Right.
And this builder, our understanding is that he is waiting for that to be sold so he can build the second home, and he'll move into that until it's sold.
Sure.
It's a good strategy.
He's over the ESA on the second one.
I know there's some things to work, and you know, this is my projection of the ESA and my projection of their homes, so I could be off a little bit.
Okay.
Their homes might be closer to the street.
Sure.
I realize this is not germane to this discussion, and I apologize for asking it, but all of the property that goes to the north beyond that next neighbor, who is that privately owned or is that village owned? Beyond that house, the neighbor's house.
It's private. It's all private.
It's all private.
It's all private.
Then my question would be, is there a possibility someday that cul-de-sac ends and a street has to go all the way down there?
No.
Houses.
All of those people on Riverside, on the river, they have their house, then they have the trail, then they have a chunk of vacant land. And these are the only houses that are down there on the west side.
You're saying that the property on the west side of what appears to be that extension of the of River Lane, they belong to the property owners to the east of River Lane? Is that...
No.
Yeah, I'm going back.
Yeah.
That this belongs to the people over here.
Here's the trail.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And that continues there along the river. And once you get past this lot here.
Yeah, that's what I.
These lots on the river all attach
to the
with the lots on the other
side
of the trail.
Gotcha.
The other side.
Thank you.
Gary, you have the. I'm sorry, Jeff? We can't pull it up on here, but I did provide a aerial of the property.
Yeah, that's what he just showed. Jeff just showed me that.
Okay.
It was a little hard to see. I pulled one off the.
Right. Yeah, I apologize. It kind of washes out with the copy.
I'm
copying.
Oh, no.
That cul-de-sac, I can't believe it would be extended.
Okay.
I don't think the DNR would let people use the trail as a driveway. So.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm sure they wouldn't. Okay, like I said, it wasn't germane, but I wondered.
It's a good question.
Oh, no, I can't get back to my PowerPoint either. So that was basically the last slide. The next slide only put the house on the aerial again, and that was I was having some graphics issues, so it didn't turn out as well as it should have anyway. But that would be the last of the slides. And that puts before you then the second question is, and we suggested a minimum of 5 feet as the change, because that worked in with what the line, basically the implied line is right now on the street with the houses to the north.
Okay, is that it?
Yes, that's basically it. The planting question and maintaining, those are things that can be occurring over the winter and so forth. They help in getting a good start as we would to the next spring and so forth. And so that's very important.
Okay, before you sit down, is it the intent of Mr. and Mrs. Hemstreet to address this, or are you basically...
No, I think you'd like to hear from them.
Okay. No, that's totally up to them.
No, unless you've got questions on it.
Okay.
And so I think what Dan has presented is pretty much what we have talked about in preparation for this. And so technical questions I leave to him. Your question around what would our intent be around the ultimate disposition of that strip, then yes, we'd like to petition to get that abandoned and we assume ownership for that. And so that's basically it.
Okay. Are there any questions by board members of Mr. Rorty or either Mr. or Mrs. Hemstreet? Any further questions?
I do not.
No.
If you did consider them separately, there is an advantage to being able to plant in that. There's work that can be done over the winter and so forth, which mm-hmm. helps the village and the Hemstreet.
And it appears there's no other members of the public here to speak on this. I don't see any. So either of you gentlemen want to put in your 2 cents?
I think the board pretty much covered all the topics that are concerns that I had with granting variance. That is, if there was ever, if the village ever intended to expand that road, that would bring it 5 feet from the structure. But also, the public works director said, with that current cul-de-sac being at its widest, there's really no desperate need to expand the road. I guess that's not a definite statement either, but that is the direction he's providing.
In any event, as I understand it from your standpoint, you would not have a problem with the vegetation, but you would have a problem with a 5-foot setback. I mean, everybody's got to admit a 5-foot setback as compared to 30 feet is not a lot of space.
Right. And my only concern is that that's not a definite, concept that won't be expanded ever in the future. There could be a need 20 years down the line, I'm not sure.
I do have a question about the property to the north. Is there a chance that, how far back could that property go with regard to the environmentally sensitive area? Because that does seem to be coming up a lot. You know, the river's bending. I guess my question is it potential that that lot would be built and someone would want to set that house back a lot and then you'd have this house so much in front? Which is, do you understand that question?
You mean if the neighbors tore down the current house and built
correct,
a new one?
And wanted to build, is it possible for them to go back, or because of that, in that 75 foot and the river coming up so much that they're very limited as to how far back they can go?
Without having the maps in front of me, I would assume they are very limited with their space. I would assume you're correct that the SA line would continue at that same direction and really cut that parcel.
The buildable space would be that house always is going to have to be set up. Okay.
Well, and the depth decreases as you move north on all of these lots.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's an existing structure on this lot? No.
No, it's been taken down.
Because I'm looking at a map that shows one. And I
yes.
Guess.
Yeah, there used to be, but it's been demolished.
Brown County has 2010 hearings.
Yeah. It's got that new house on it, though.
That's actually the old one.
Oh, that is? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So that was raised.
Huh. Well, the footprint's very similar. Well, I guess we can discuss this then among the board. I would say that this is not an easy one. In my mind, the thing that makes it so unusual is the roadway and the fact that you've got the guy next door sitting on a 25-foot-wide road and then these people sitting on a 50-foot-wide road, and there doesn't appear to be any good reason for it.
Right.
And I really wish that they had taken a different route and would have gone to get this street vacated so that we wouldn't have to address this. Because, you know, if you had done that, we wouldn't be here.
That's right.
If you had done
this. In doing this, does it preclude us from doing that?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. No. I think probably anybody sitting up here would tell you that they would have wished that you had gone and done that first. But that's not our decision. That's your decision. You can do whatever you want. You know, you can petition us. You can, if if we deny you, you can petition us again with a different plan if that's what you want to do. Five feet, I mean, that's a very short distance on a front yard setback, but I totally understand why. It's because you're imagining that that 25-foot roadway is not there. And so by going that 5 feet, you're basically back 30 feet from what the setback line would be if you went and got this street vacated. So you'd be right on. So, but there's other problems here, and that is that, you know, there's legal requirements in terms of hardship and issues like, you know, can you make any use of the property if we don't grant this variance? Things like that. I mean, like I say, it would be possible certainly to move this house west or to have a two-stall garage. But on the other hand, you know, I've been in the situation of building a house, and this is a beautiful location. You're very fortunate to have been able to buy this lot. And I just can't imagine having a place more private and secluded, and the plan that you have is beautiful, just gorgeous. When I looked at it, somebody obviously put a lot of time and effort into that plan. Because if you carry through with what you're intending there, it's really going to be a nice place. It would be like a park. And it won't be quite as nice if you don't get this variance. So. Anybody else have any thoughts?
No, I'm inclined to say we grant this the variance.
Yeah, I don't know how to look back, but when I look at the unnecessary hardship, it is very peculiar to this zoning parcel, and that the parcels next to it, we saw the difference in setbacks. It appears to be treated differently than the parcels to the north and south.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it was the intention of the passage of the zoning ordinance to preclude this type of building. So I think it could meet a hardship. Unique property limitation, it definitely is unique. Those are some of the most unique properties in the village. So their protection of the public interest, I don't think there's any adverse impact to the public interest, seeing that there still would be 30 feet to work with if we had to replace the water main. So that's my findings of fact. My own.
It is because of the environmentally sensitive area, and also with the topography of the lot to the north too. I think both those things, it's in the village's and best interest and all of our best interest to keep that potential green space and drainage area and water ponds to protect the integrity of the river and the sensitivity. And again, as you said, who will be harmed and some potential gain or advantage is being offered by this plan.
Yeah, the flood mitigation, I think, is really big to the west, just to protect your property. Whatever you build there, you want to have as much buffer as possible.
Yeah.
Right.
And this protects you as best it can.
The only thing I would say that is if someone is going to make a motion to approve this petition, I do think it should be two motions, and I do think that when we get to the one on the vegetation, that we have to make it clear that, that our granting that variance is not going to inhibit the village from use of that right-of-way, so long as it is a right-of-way.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I think we've made it clear here that that it is possible that this vegetation would have to be removed at some time in the future if that 25 feet is not vacated. And it seems that the owner understands that, and I think that that has to be a condition of granting that, that variance.
Would that condition of the variance, would that be on title? If we add as a condition of that variance, would it be on the title for the next property? Or my concern is 20 years from now, something needs to be done, and that condition's not there. We certainly don't want to be into any sort of legal fight to take out vegetation that is being maintained.
You know, I should know the answer to that, but I don't. So, I mean, if anybody goes to buy this and that right-of-way is not vacated, they're going to look at a survey, or they're going to get a survey, and they're going to see that, hey, this...
Right. Yeah,
we don't own this. This isn't coming with it.
Hate to have anybody upset with us in 20 years and we have to replace that water main. Maybe 5 years.
I'm sure I won't be here.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to be as old as I am and don't worry about it.
I hope nobody's mad at me in 20 years.
Do we have to make some provision since this is a long-term... I saw a memo from someone about wanting to...
It's from Trevor. Yeah, this has been going on.
Improve the variance on the condition that all removal and plantings be done in coordination with Park Recs and Forestry Department. Are we? What's our feeling on that?
That's what I think we're saying.
Yeah, do we want to... I'll make a motion to approve requesting a 25-foot variance from the front yard setback on constructing a residence.
And...
That's it, not the vegetation.
Okay, I'll second that.
Okay, any further discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor so indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. You get your variance on the setback.
Thank you.
Now, do we do a different motion when it comes to the vegetation?
Yeah, and we can add conditions, right? Trevor Brad, we can add conditions. And
it appears at this point that there are two conditions. And one is that the variance will not inhibit the ability of the village to make use of that property as a right-of-way. That's number one. And number two, the owner has to work with the Park, Recreation, and Forestry Department of the village and coordinate the plantings with them.
So could I ask that you be more specific?
I sure wish I could.
If I could suggest, I mean, coordination might be sharing and developing the landscaping plan with the park department's review and consent.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, if there's anything that might come back here someday, that would probably be it.
Yeah.
And I hope we don't have to solve any fights between you guys and the forestry department.
And if such a if we make that motion, the two-pronged motion, and 6 months from now the property is vacated through the proper channels and so on, then all of this goes away, right?
It does, and that's why I phrased that number one condition in terms of not inhibiting the village use of that property as a right-of-way. Because if it gets vacated, it's no longer a right-of-way.
Yeah.
The village has nothing to say about it at that point. And neither does the forestry department. So those conditions go away.
Yeah.
Once you get that vacated, and I sure hope you do that.
Absolutely. I just don't see how it's going to happen without the village holding an easement on that property for the utilities that are in the that are in that parcel.
So I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you said.
The utilities that are in that area.
Oh.
You know, the village is always going to need an easement.
Sure.
For the public utilities, so.
But that wouldn't change. That really
doesn't really change your game at all.
Right.
It's either right. This way or that way, and either way, they're going to be able to replace the.
You'll have an easement, or it'll be your property, and
right.
I'll be.
Right.
I don't know, squatting on it or something. I don't know. But if you need that, you're gonna have to use it anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Would someone care to make a motion to approve the vegetation variance subject to those two conditions?
If I don't have to.
I so move.
And is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor so indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Is anyone opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Good luck to you.
You're recommending that you right away go ahead and petition to vacate that 25 feet. So
if it were me, I would.
You're kind of at a weird crossroads now because you got the variance, but we still have to coordinate with the park and forestry department. Whereas that might take a little while to develop a landscape plan, maybe it won't. But it might also take a while for the vacation, so maybe do the same concurrently.
You know, right now it's kind of on people's mind around here. So while it's still fresh, I would pursue that right away.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's going to look really nice.
Yeah, that's a great plan.
That was cool. Beautiful. Just
and just hope for no 100-year storm to come in and change everything.
Not this spring, anyway.
All right. I'm not aware of any announcements. I don't have anything else.
We don't have another meeting right away?
On my table here. So I guess we can entertain a motion to adjourn.
I so move to adjourn.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you very much.